1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and beginning at verse number 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And so we are in defense of the spiritual gifts, lesson 3, and we want the Lord to help us today. Praise God. Let's just do that here tonight. Let's ask him to help us. Father, we love you. Bring enlightenment and revelation unto us, God, and help us, Lord Jesus, to catch this. Impart unto us, Lord God, all that you would have for us, and we'll be thankful and give you glory in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord, and God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Paul made the statement that he said, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. That's not just Paul's words, but that is being moved upon and inspired by the Holy Ghost to write these things. For it is the Lord that would not have us to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Why? Because God hath chosen these things to help the church. Amen. It's like an electrician that has all of his tools in the toolbox, like a plumber that has all of his tools in his van, like a carpenter that has all of his tools at his side. It's like anybody doing their job that has the tools there. You may be a banker, but you've got everything that you need. You got the calculator. You've got all the formulas. You've got everything that you need. And when it comes to the church, the Lord knew what it was going to take to help Corinth, but he also knew at the same time that it would need to be something that would help the church indefinitely. And so he gave the gifts of the Spirit unto the church to edify the church, to help the church to build it up. And there in Corinth, where there was such a mess, Paul began to teach them about the understandings of the gifts of the Spirit, and they were able to benefit from that. And today we take that and we dive into it, and we see of how that it is able to benefit us. And I would simply submit to you today that many of these gifts are in operation, even in our church. And it is needful and important and helpful to be able to not just to understand this, but to be able to recognize when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. And as we go through this, we will understand, and you will even begin to picture and begin to think back to yourself memories within the last week to 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 10 years, and you will see how God has been using his gifts to help the church. Praise the Lord. Amen. The importance of these gifts. Amen. Paul said that we are earnest, we are to earnestly covet the best gifts. In other words, whatever is best and needed for that particular time. Amen. The nature of the gifts. It's important to note that these are spiritual gifts. These are not just talents that one would have, that one would be wiser than another, but it is a word of wisdom, a spiritual enlightenment that brings about something that nobody was able to know. The purpose of the gifts is that we would profit withal, and that we would do this, and that the edifying of the body would take place concerning this. Praise God. And then we have the nine gifts divided into three categories. The ability or the gifts provided, the divine ability to know, the gifts of revelation, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. We have the gifts of power, which is faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. Amen. The divine ability to act. We have the gifts of inspiration, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues, or the divine ability to speak. And a couple of weeks ago, we went through the gifts of revelation with the providing the ability, the divine ability to know. We talked about a word of knowledge. We talked about a word of wisdom and how that they come about unto us. And oftentimes that the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom comes to us through the preaching of the word of God. And it is not necessarily that the preacher would stand and say, I've got a word of wisdom for somebody, or I've got a word of knowledge for somebody. Amen. And he may not even say, I don't even know why I'm saying this here tonight, but I just feel that somebody needs to hear this. It may be very, very subtly in a way that only you know and that only God knows. Praise God. Praise God. I was preaching at Brother Abernathy's a couple of months ago, and a lady came up to me after the service, and she said, she thanked me for the word of God. She said, I just want to thank you because God was able to use you. And so she said, there are things that nobody knows. She says, not even Pastor Abernathy knows some things that I'm facing, that I'm going through. She said, but you specifically spoke them in your message there tonight. I don't know which ones was for her. I don't know which ones went to her. I don't know, but God does. God does. And so a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom went forth unto her that she was able to glean whatever it was. I don't know where it was in the message, but there was something in the message that specifically spoke to her, enlightened her situation, and may have, whether it was a word of knowledge or whether it was the word of knowledge with the word of wisdom, however that it was, she didn't go on to clarify anything. But through that, God spoke to her and was able to help her in her situation. And I would surmise here today that every one of us could point back at a particular service when we were under the gun, when we were under such pressure, when we were under an immense amount of pressure, of pain, or whatever it was. But somewhere or another in a certain message, God came forth and spoke to us, and the preacher probably didn't know it. The preacher may have known it, and we've all got a different testimony. We may be able to say, oh, there was one time that a preacher said, I've got a word of wisdom for somebody tonight, and it was for me. And they may have stated, I don't know why I'm saying this, but somebody needs to hear this, and that was for me. Or they may not have said anything, but you would say, through that message, that was for me. It opened up the way that I could see in the spirit really what was going on. And so God does these things and uses these things. We talked about the discerning of spirits and the divine revelation of the spirit, the knowledge of a spirit behind a person's actions or words or their lifestyle. And this helps us to understand. This helps us to be cautious concerning things. Amen. There are times when an individual would come in and the spirit of discernment would begin to operate in the church. And you just see people, they don't even know why they do things, but they begin begin to be cautious, or they begin to be alert to things, and we understand these things, and the preacher can be alerted to whatever it is. And so God does and uses these things for the edification of the church. Praise God. And we need these things in the church in this day and time. And it's not just that we need them in the church, but we need them in our church. Amen. We need them in our church. Praise God. We need people that are willing to be used of God. Amen. We need people that will be responsive to the Spirit of God and to the moving of God, that will make themselves available unto God. And some of these here tonight may not necessarily fall in the lap of the saint, but we're going to talk about some things here today, amen, that every saint of God can be used according to. Amen. Because there are people in this world, amen, that they've been to churches. They've been hurt by churches. They've been hurt by pastors. They've been hurt. And some of them just use that as an excuse. Amen. But yet they're going to, quote unquote, give God one more chance. And they've got to have a supernatural experience in the Holy Ghost that will arrest their attention. That's why it is important that we pray and that we invite the presence of God into this place. Let's not just take for granted that just because we come to church, that God is just going to show up. Amen. And let's also make sure, amen, that we're following proper protocol. And that is that he said, if you will draw nigh unto him, that he will draw nigh unto you. Praise God. I just got a feeling that too many of us come in and say, well, if God moves upon me, then I will respond. Amen. If God cranks the fire up a little bit, then I will respond. If God begins to make it a little bit heavy, then I will respond. That's the wrong mindset. Amen. He said, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. You want to feel God? Get your hands in the air. You want to hear God? Amen. Open up your ears and begin to worship him and get his attention. Amen. You want to know the presence of God, the mind of God? Be responsive to the Spirit of God. Amen. Just simply don't quench the Spirit. Amen. The less that we quench the Spirit, the more that God is going to move amongst us. And that's what the guests are going to need to hear. That's what the guests are going to need to feel. They're going to need to feel the power of the Holy Ghost. They're going to need to feel the inspiration of the Spirit. They're going to need to feel chill bumps running up and down on top of chill bumps. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe they don't need to show up on a Wednesday night. Maybe they just need to show up on a Sunday night when we're excited about it. Oh, no, 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 no. Amen. Let's be faithful in worship. Let's be faithful in response. Let's be faithful in prayer. Let's be faithful unto God. God needs a church that'll be faithful unto him. God needs a church that'll be consistent for him. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let me just say that we're not pleasing God. We are not pleasing God. Amen. When we sit there like a bump on the log. Amen. There is no scripture for that. Amen. And I know that there are times that we're going to come into this place and we're going to say, you know what, I'm just so tired. But somewhere or another, we got to push through all of that. We got to push through all of that. Amen. Consistency, amen, is key when it comes not only to living for God, but for revival. Revival. Amen. If we want revival, we've got to be consistent in our worship, consistent in our prayer, consistent in our push for a move of God. We've got to be consistent in these things. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Well, some of you are still not getting it. I'm looking out there and seeing blank looks. I'm looking out there and I'm just seeing you like, amen, praise God. Hallelujah. We back up and hit it again. Hallelujah. Amen. The old farmers, they didn't have those John Deere plows and stuff that they could just, amen. I've watched Brother Wirth was talking about this the other day. Just, you know, some of these tractors and stuff just go up to a tree and just push it over. I've seen tractors that just reach down and grab a tree and just pull it out, no problem whatsoever at all. Well, the old farmers, they didn't have that. They didn't have that John Deere hydraulic power. And so they would just set the, they had just set that plow just a little bit deep and stuff, but they knew they weren't just going to go right over the top of it. And so on a pass, they'd just go by and just bump it and hit it. And it'd take a little bit out and jar it. And they'd go by again and bump it and hit it. And it'd jar it a little bit more and take a little bit more. And they'd go by. And it'd just get loose and loose and loose and loose. And finally, all of a sudden, they'd hit it one more time and boom, it popped out. Praise God. So don't expect me to stop preaching about worship. Don't expect me to stop preaching about response. Don't expect me to stop preaching about pre-service prayer. Don't expect me to stop preaching, amen, about these things. I'm going to keep preaching them until we get loose in those areas. Praise God. God's good to us. God's good to us. Hallelujah. Let's just give the Lord praise here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. And so let's get into the gifts of power. Amen. The gifts providing the divine ability to act. And that is going to be faith and the gifts of healing and the working of miracles. And probably out of all of these, the one that we would consider to know, well, I think we could say that we would know a little bit about all of these, but there is one, I don't even really know how to approach it, but it's going to be in operation more often than others will be. And but there's a fine line that divides it from the rest of things, and that is just faith. Faith, faith. We've got to have faith. We've got to have faith. Now, if you will notice in the scripture there, when Paul is writing in these, he does not necessarily say the gift of faith. He just says to another, faith. Faith. Amen. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we've got to have saving faith. Faith that repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, infilling of the Holy Ghost is salvation. We've got to be strong in the faith. Strong in the gospel. We got to be strong in that. We've got to be secured. We got to stand fast in that. And so there is that faith that we've got to have, that we've got to be a part of, that faith. And then there is now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And with that, you go to the place, and just a few verses later there in Hebrews 11 and 6, and he says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Now, we know that in our studies, we know that every person needs to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them the utterance. For that is the sign of the Holy Ghost. Amen? All right? But that does not mean that they have the gift of tongues. And we also don't believe that some don't have to speak with tongues, because not everybody is going to have the gift of tongues. We understand that they are two separate things. There is the initial sign of the Holy Ghost, and then there is the gift of tongues. They are two distinctly different things. We also know that there are many wise men that walk amongst us, but that does not mean that they have the gift of wisdom. We know that there are people that have a lot of knowledge and that can tell you how a steam engine works. And they read encyclopedias and dictionaries for the fun of it. And they may have all knowledge, but that does not mean that they have the gift of knowledge. And so with that said, the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so does that mean that we have the parenthesis here, gift of faith? And that is not the case. We must all have faith. Just as if we're all going to be saved, we all need to speak in tongues. And we must all have faith. You've got to have faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so there, as I was thinking about this and studying upon this, I actually reached out to Brother Riggin and started conversing with him and talking about things, and we see it on the same level, and is just trying to figure out how to explain it, and I think that I come to a conclusion with that. But you've got to have faith. Every man must have faith, because without faith, you're not going to be pleasing unto God. And just because you have faith does not mean that God has to come through. How many times have you had faith that God would heal an individual that was upon their deathbed and God didn't heal that individual and they died? Does that mean that God cannot do it? No. You still have faith that God can do it. There may have been an individual that we prayed for that had COVID and we prayed that God would heal them and God didn't heal them. But that doesn't mean that God is not a healer. And so we continue to have faith that God is able to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Praise God. You may have prayed that God would come through for you financially, and you feel like God didn't come through for you financially, but I submit to you today that you're still here. Amen, amen. You're still here. It's still working out. And just because that God didn't come when you thought that he would have come, when you thought that he should have come, doesn't mean that he's not able to do anything. And so the Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 38, now the just shall live by faith. If you're going to live, you've got to live by faith. In the Old Testament, he said that, amen, that the just walk by faith. You got to walk by faith. And that just simply means that I don't know what today holds, but I do believe I'm going to get through this day and God's going to help me and you're going to walk by faith. And it doesn't mean that you've got the answers for everything, amen, but you're walking by faith. Amen. As the Spirit leads you and as God grants you grace, you continue to walk and you continue to face things. And you're believing God that he's going to come through for you in every situation. And just because God doesn't come through for you like you feel like he should come through for you, you have to continue to hold the faith in God. Well, God didn't heal me. Amen. That does not mean that God's not a healer. You've still got to believe that God can heal you. Praise the Lord. You can never give up. You can never draw the line and say, well, I prayed and God didn't do it, so I've lost faith in God. I don't believe that God will come through. I don't believe that God will heal. I don't believe that God can do this or God can do that. I still believe in repentance. I still believe in baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But I'm not putting my faith in something, amen, that typically just never happens. You are not pleasing to God. You've got to have faith whether God comes through or God doesn't come through. And you say, well, if God loves me, why doesn't God always come through? Because God knows what's laying further down the road. And God knows that if he comes in and heals you or touches you or provides for you now, amen, that there is a greater test ahead and you're going to need more faith then. And so when you get to that area, amen, you're a stronger individual, amen. And things may not have worked out like you thought that they should have worked out, but nevertheless, you're still in the faith. You're still in the church. You're still, amen, got things together. You may have been hurt. You may have been blindsided. You may have felt like God didn't come through, amen. But God knows what it takes to get you through. And God knows that if he answered you according to your every little little whim, you'd be nothing but a spoiled little brat. Amen. And you would be worthless. Amen. And so God encourages us and helps us to be able to walk by faith and not by sight. And so whether he does or he doesn't, I'm still going to have faith. That's where the three Hebrew children were. They had faith, and they answered in their faith with that. And they said, "O King, let it be known that our God is able." That's faith. Now, whether he chooses to do it is up to him. But if he chooses to do it, he sure can do it. We have faith that no matter how hot it is, if God wants to bring us out, he will bring us out. That is faith. That is faith. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. There was a time that the devil, amen, went and presented himself unto God, amen, and told the Lord. He said, "You know what, Job, does he serve you for naught?" And that's just simply that everything that Job needs, you give him, and you've got protection about him. And the Lord said, "I tell you what, I'll take the hedge off, and you can touch everything that he's got, but he's going to continue to have faith in me." And so that's what happened. And Job's children were slain. And his houses were destroyed. And he lost all of his animals. Amen. And his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And Job said, "Though he slay me, yet I'm still going to continue to have faith in him. I don't understand the situation right now. I don't understand why I've got all these boils on my body. I don't understand why my children died, why my houses were destroyed, why my animals died. I don't understand all of that, but one thing I do know, and that God is faithful, and he's not going to leave me." And he just continued to have faith. And the devil comes and says, "Oh, let me touch his body." And then the boils came. Amen. But what did God? What did Job do? Did he quit having faith? No, he continued to have faith. That's the type of faith that is pleasing to God. Whether he does or he doesn't, I am going to continue to have faith in him. God, I've got faith that you're going to give me a $2 an hour raise by this paycheck. I've just got faith. I've got faith. I've got faith. You know what? God can do it. But if he doesn't do it and you're just at the same old wage, or you get laid off, amen, from your job, does that mean that God is not capable of doing it? Oh, no, 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 no. He's very capable of doing it. And even so, even therefore, if it doesn't happen this week, today, or tomorrow, this week, next month, you still got to walk by faith. Amen, and not by sight. Amen. I still believe that God is going to do it. I still believe that God is going to come through. Hello, New Life Tabernacle. When we've been praying that God is going to send revival, amen, and we feel like God has deserted us, but somebody's still going to stand up and say, "No, no, 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 no. We may have been here 20 years, and it may not be what we think it is, but I still have faith. I have faith that one of these days the doors are going to open up." Preacher, you've been preaching that for a long time, and it still hasn't changed. I still have faith that sometime or another, God is going to show up, and God is going to draw all men unto him, and God is going to fill the house with hungry souls. Been praying for your lost loved one for 20 years, and it just seems like they get harder and harder. Amen. You can't give up on them and say, "Well, I used to have faith." Oh, no, no, no. That's what Mary and Martha did. Lord, if you'd have come 4 days ago, then we would have had faith. But our faith went in that tomb with Lazarus. It's over. It's finished. Amen. But God come through, and he said, "Hey, I still can do this. I still can heal. I still can perform a miracle." And even though you've been praying for 20 years, you got to go back to the altar just as if it's the first day, just as if it's your first time to pray, and get down in all sincerity and begin to pray in the spirit. Amen. And begin to rebuke the spirits of hell and begin to say, "God, I know that you are able, and I'm believing that you will. My trust is in you. My faith is in you." That is the type of faith that is pleasing unto God. Oh, let's love him this night. He said, "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." But we are not of them who draw back. Paul's putting the faith in the church. Paul said, we ain't doing that. We're not drawing back. We're continuing straight ahead. Amen. After we have done the will of God, we're just going to wait patiently for it to come to pass. We're just going to keep moving. We are not of them that draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Praise God. There's faith. There is faith. But now, when we come to the gifts, and faith is mentioned there, it's a little bit different. Not a whole lot, but it is a little bit different. Because when we look at the gifts of the Spirit, which faith is put under, you can also look at the fruit of the Spirit, and you can find faithfulness. So, full of faith. But the faith that we're going to talk about here is not the fruit of the Spirit, and it's not just an item that we have to have in order to please God, but there is a moment. Because the gifts of the Spirit are the divine ability for now. Tongues and interpretation is for the now. And I know that the interpretation may be for some future, but it's for a specific purpose for now. The gifts of healing is for now. You don't see the gifts of healing in operation and say, well, in 10 years it'll manifest itself. No, in 10 years it'll show back up and do a work. But if the gifts of healing are in operation, which we need them in operation, it's for now. And it's got to be acquainted with the faith that is pleasing God. But there is a faith. There is a moment. And just so we keep the differences out there, we're just going to refer to it as the gift of faith, but it's not necessarily a gift. It's just faith. Simple faith. And so there is a moment that the gift of faith would insert, interject, come upon us, and we've got to respond to that moment. And I feel more like Hebrews 11 and 6, that without faith it's impossible to please God, could possibly be different than Hebrews 11 and 1 that states now faith. Now faith. So let me just read to you a little bit in Scripture concerning a few things. Let's look at Paul in Acts 27, 20 through 22. And when neither the sun nor the stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay us on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. They lost their faith. Now, their faith probably wasn't in Jesus Christ, but more in the captain. But at this point in time, they had lost their faith. Any hope that we should be saved was gone. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. Now, I want to point out something, because we have come back to this setting of Scripture a few times. There was a word of knowledge that Paul had when he told the captain, we just need to stay here during this winter season. That was a word of knowledge, because Paul doesn't have his credentials in ship sailing. But the captain does. And so the captain is looking at Paul, asking him, saying, well, who do you think that you are? And how many years do you have sailing on voyages of ships and such? And Paul couldn't say, well, I used to have my own ship. And it's one thing to say, well, I studied at the feet of Gamaliel, and we learned all kinds of weather patterns and stuff like that. And the ship captain is saying, knowledge is not experience. Listen here, boy. I've done this a lot of times. And I don't see anything that's saying that we can't do this. But it was a word of knowledge that came forth. as Paul said, I think that, you know, he stated and he said, look, there's going to be great harm that's going to come to the ship. And then there was a word of wisdom. And he said, I think we need to stay here. And so later on, after the harm has come to the ship, then they would say, as Paul would say with the word of knowledge, and he would say, everybody needs to stay on the ship. Or he would say by a word of wisdom, everybody needs to stay on the ship. And then he would say by a word of knowledge, if you stay on the ship, everybody that stays on the ship is going to be saved. So there's the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge that's working in this, all right? But in this same story, there is the gift of faith. And that's what we're referring to. It's faith. And here Paul says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. All right? So we could look at this and say a word of knowledge, but it's paired hand in hand, just like a lot of times the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom are paired hand in hand. In this situation, we see the word of knowledge and faith paired hand in hand. Paul has been absent for a little while, been down in the bottom of the deck praying about some things, and the Lord speaks to him. And so Paul's got a word of knowledge. And he steps up by faith, and somebody asked him, said, well, how do you know these things? I just know my God. It was a moment of inspiration that came upon Paul that Paul began to say, hey, everything is going to be okay. How do you know everything is going to be okay? I mean, the ship is breaking up and things, and he said, by faith, he's got some knowledge about it through the Spirit, but by faith, he is inspired, amen, to spring forth. And he said, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, you know what, this, but there is a measure of faith that is in Paul. And Paul's saying, look, everything's going to be okay. It's all going to be all right. He's walking by faith and not by sight. There is an initial moment that Paul is moved upon by the Spirit of God to speak the things that he spoke. Amen. And so the writer Luke said, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Yet the apostle Paul stands and he says, be of good cheer. There is no way a person could have had that type of confidence without a special impartation of faith. All right, now let's look at Isaiah 42 and 5. And thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath upon unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold your hand and will keep you and give you a covenant for the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and to them that sit in the darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not share with another, neither praise to graven image. Behold, the former things are come to pass, new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. That you go down into the sea and all that is therein, the isle and the inhabitants thereof. You say, what did you say all of that for? Amen. I'm going to talk to you about my life. Because there was a moment in my life that everything seemed to be like Paul's ship that was being tossed to and fro and had broken up and busted. And my wife and I, we were just at our wits' end. And we were trying to make a decision of what to do. And this was many, many, many years ago. Marcus was an infant at that particular time. We were just, you know, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. And so I walked down into our basement. And I walked up to my Bible. And I opened up my Bible. And these are the verses that I began to read in there. Thus saith the Lord God that created the heavens, stretch them out in righteousness. Hold your hand, open blinded eyes and all that. And then all of a sudden here he says, behold, the former things are come to pass and new things do I declare. And before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Amen. And so I had knowledge, amen, that all of these things is getting ready to be over. The storm is almost over and we're walking forward. So I have a word of knowledge. But friend, there's a spring in my step and I got faith now. I got faith. Now, did I have faith? I always had faith that God was going to bring us through. I just didn't know when. But now there is a moment. There is a divine, like lightning strike. There is a divine moment right then. And I walked up to the stairs and I declared to my wife, I said, it's over. It's almost over. It's done. It's through. And I made a declaration to her, and she said, don't you dare move me out of the will of God. And I said, you don't have to worry about it. I said, God spoke and said, it's over. I said, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. Amen. But I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost spoke and that it's over. There was just an enormous amount of faith that was there. It was more than just a word of knowledge. It was the witness of the Spirit that was there. And I felt it. And we went to church that night, and lo and behold, I'm telling you, my God's honest truth, it was over that very night. And it was just a few hours before that God said, hey, bam, just like this, former things are passed away. I'm declaring new things unto you. It's over. It's done. And so we went to church, and just like that, it was over. Amen. It was a brand spanking new chapter in our life. And we just kind of looked at each other in amazement thinking, wow. Wow. And that's the way that God does things. And that is the part of the gift of faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. We could talk about other things, but I just want to bring it home here tonight. Amen. To try to explain unto you how that the gift of faith is going to be in operation at times in the church. And there are going to be moments, amen, that we're struggling. We're fighting through things. And spirits are trying to bind us and trying to hinder us and such. And then all of a sudden, it's just, it's not in the fire. It's not in the earthquake. It's not in the strong winds, just that still small voice, amen, that begins to speak, amen. It's just that small, subtle moving of the Spirit that you feel, and all of a sudden you got to respond to it. And you don't even know why that you're responding to it. It's not like we're having some deep service, but it's just something beginning to move in the service, something beginning to flow in the service. And you begin to feel that. And as you feel that, you respond to it and you begin to pray. And at that moment, all of a sudden, kazam, something happens to you in the spirit. I'm talking spiritually right now. Amen. But all of a sudden, you begin to pray in the spirit, and God is using you, and you may be speaking forcefully in tongues. Amen. And God's using you to break some things. You could be breaking some things in your life. You could be breaking some things in the church. Hello. That's why we all need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And as the Spirit of God begins to move, and He begins to move on a certain individual, amen, God has given you the keys, reaching into His pocket and handing them out to you and saying, here, I'm giving it to you. And you go ahead and unlock it. And as you begin to respond to the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost begins to move, and you respond, and people begin to think, what is this? It's faith moving through the building. Amen. It's not like you can define it and point at it and say, here it is. But it's a divine inspiration as God begins to move. And when it's all said and done, what's done? We've been edified. We've been helped. And we can't even necessarily put our finger on and say, this is the answer. But somehow, through it all, God began to move in that service and began to do things that superseded what man's eyes and man's mind can know. I feel this here tonight. I feel this here tonight. Amen, amen, amen. There are a lot of times that the gift of faith can be mistaken for tongues and interpretation. And I'm going to show you why that it's extremely important to understand. And if you don't understand, the best thing that you can do, amen, is just do whatever the pulpit is saying. In other words, don't just sit there and stare at the pulpit and say, what's the pastor going to do? Or what is he doing and stuff? Respond. If he's saying, you know what, let's be sensitive, amen, then he's giving us direction. Or he's going to say, you know what, we need to respond to this. There's the direction. We need to move with that. Because here's what's happened. When the gift of faith begins to move in the church, and somebody all of a sudden feels that inspiration and begins to speak in tongues, and the Holy Ghost is moving, why, that's a gift of faith. God is ready to pull us up and to take us. But all of a sudden, we perceive that it's the gift of tongues, and what do? We dumb down and get quiet. And so the one that's feeling the inspiration of the Spirit, they either miss the vein or they stop. So we've got to be sensitive to whatever it is. You say, well, I can't figure that out. That's why we pay attention to the pulpit. Pay attention to the pulpit, because the pulpit's going to lead us. The pulpit's going to say, hey, you know what? Let's move. Let's respond to this. Come on, let's respond to this. Somebody's saying, they're trying to give tongues. No, it's the gift of faith moving through the place, calling everybody. Come on, come on, come on. And then all of a sudden, you see it. It's almost like wildfire. Somebody's feeling it over here. And then somebody else starts feeling it. Bam, they start talking in tongues. And then it just looks like a wave of glory that starts going through the place and then everybody. And then all of a sudden, you got people over here breaking loose. People over here shouting. Something happens over here. Hey, man, it's a wave of glory because the gift or faith is in operation in the spirit in the church. And God is moving through there. And it's just a divine inspiration that God takes and he looks at somebody and he said, I just want you to respond. I just want you to respond. I'm moving on you right now. I just want you to respond. And as you begin to respond to the Spirit of God, all of a sudden that connection is made and the Holy Ghost begins to fall. And it's not just you that's blessed. It's the entire church. The entire church begins to respond. And people that are fighting hell throw up their hands. Wham! The Holy Ghost hits them as well. And faith comes into the place and they walk out saying, hey, I can make it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. That's why we got to have faith. Amen. That faith is that I believe God can do it. I believe at any moment God can do it. And God hasn't done it here yet, but I believe that God can do it. But when the gifts begin to be in operation, it's the now. Right now, things begin to happen. Things begin to move. You don't see the gift of tongues in operation. Everybody says, ah, we'll catch up with that next week. Mm-mm. It's now. It's now. It's the divine ability now. Now, you may have faith that God can heal you. And I believe that God can heal you. As a matter of fact, I know that God can heal you. So you have faith. But then all of a sudden the gift of faith moves upon you. And that inspiration comes upon you. And you speak it out. I don't have no idea why I'm saying this, but I just feel, you know what? It's going to be okay. All right? There's your difference. Because you have faith. I just believe God can heal me. I believe that God can heal me. But then all of a sudden something changes and you feel that confirmation. You say, I don't know what it was, but I feel that God's got it under control and that it's fine. I'm going to be okay. That's the gift of faith in operation, and you've got to respond to that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Jeff Dykes was talking at the camp meeting the other day, and I think within the past year to 2 years, he was seriously, 4 years, something like that, 4 years, he was seriously, seriously ill and on his deathbed. As a matter of fact, he coded. He said, I don't even know how many times I coded. One time he died, he coded, and the doctors were continuing. They said, look, they said, if we bring him back to life now, he'll be a vegetable the rest of his life. And so, but he came back. And but there was a preacher that was praying for him. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, that preacher, I don't know what happened, but something just happened, and he's going to be okay. Mark the time. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. Mark the time and said, you know what? I'm going to bed. I've been up praying for this man and everything else like that, but I'm going to bed. Now, did he have faith that God could heal Brother Dykes? Absolutely. But there, 4 o'clock in the morning, there was a gift of faith that was in operation right then. He responded to it. The Holy Ghost moved, and something happened. Something happened at that moment. He said, you know what? It's going to be okay. Walked out, told his wife, he's going to be all right. Well, how do you know that? I just got faith. God said, it's going to be okay. So they went to bed. So then on Brother Dyke's side of the story, he died. He died. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, somebody brought him back to life. And so his family asked him, They asked the nurse, when the nurse came out and was changing shifts, they asked the nurse, they said, I know we can't go in and see him, but is there any hope that you can give us? Is there anything that you can tell us that might help us and stuff? She said, well, he seems to be doing a little bit better, but sometime around 4 o'clock in the morning, we noted a significant change. There's something that happened at 4 o'clock in the morning, and from there, he just kind of pulled on through. So it's the gift of faith in operation. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. And I am telling somebody, I got a word of knowledge. I got a word of wisdom for somebody here right now. Your answer is in how you respond to your gift of faith. Mark it down in your book. Mark it down in your book, because I just felt that in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are things that you have been praying about. Amen. And you're not going to see them, but according to how you respond to the gift of faith. When the gift of faith, when it moves upon you, you've got to respond right then and let it work. Because there's something that's going to happen in the supernatural. This is beyond human intellect, beyond human knowledge, beyond human wisdom. It supersedes all of that. When God moves upon you and says, now, respond now. Amen. And you say, well, you know, I just don't know about the, you know. No. You're going to get your answer according to your response when God moves in that situation. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I want to be sensitive to it, God, that if it's my prayer, I want to respond. Recito mando che loro voscianta membre di silra che la maha. I palandere mi ondo remassendo risciaie e loro chi serere la voscia patana membo cosce. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If it's my response to revival, God, I want to be quick to respond and respond adequately, God. Lord, if it's my response to whatever prayer that I'm praying, I want to be quick to respond and adequately, Lord. God, I want to operate. I want to act upon faith. I want to act upon faith in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, I wish some of you would catch this right now. Hallelujah. And rather than trying to understand it all, I wish some of you would catch it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, talk to the Lord about it right now. Talk to the Lord about it right now. God, help me to understand. Lord Jesus, but more than that, I want to catch it. I want to catch it. I want to know it. Lord, bring a time back to my mind. Lord Jesus, when the gift of faith was in operation in my life. Give me a time. Give me a testimony in my life, God, of when I saw the gift of faith in operation. Lord, in my life or in the church, oh Lord. And help me to recognize that, God, that I could respond. Come on, the Spirit of the Lord is moving in this place right now. Amen, amen. I have given unto you knowledge, but God wants to impart unto you the spiritual part of this right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I said it. God wants to impart unto you the spiritual part of this. Amen. He wants you to feel it. He wants you to do more than just know it. He wants you to feel it. He wants you to sense it. He's teaching us right now. I've been teaching you for 45 minutes now. God is teaching us right now by moving through this place. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, let's just be sensitive to the Lord here for a moment of time.